life couldn't buy high. Hey, baby, let's go to Vegas. Bet on love and let it ride.
Well, he's not betting on love in Las Vegas, but that's where he met his wife. I know that for sure. At the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, he is our former NFL, CFL, and UNLV Rebel quarterback, now our sports betting expert, John Denton, who is live from Las Vegas this morning. Johnny D., what's the weather like? I saw some Daily Wagers show last evening with our friend Doug Kazarian. Looked nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. It was like 65 degrees yesterday, a little slight breeze. Unfortunately, didn't get out on the golf course.
Yeah, that was going to be my next one.
It's coming. It's coming.
Is it? Is it really? Are you going to get a chance to golf this week while you're out there?
I am. I'm going to play. I leave Sunday morning. I'm going to get a chance to play 36 on Saturday.
Wow. Look at you. The man, the myth, the legend, John Denton. Well, it's great to have you aboard this morning, and thanks for being early for us. I know it's 5:40 on the West Coast, so we appreciate you, John. This upcoming weekend, two games, AFC, NFC championship game. You and I were just chopping it up off air here a bit. The John Denton special today, I think we're going to look at the Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, I think that's the, I mean, that's the game you have to focus on, because there's, you know, too much unknown for me in the other game, as far as, you know, the health of Mahomes and, you know, just something just doesn't sit right with, you know, with Buffalo, not being as big of an underdog as I thought they would be. Even, you know, they're thinking Mahomes is going to play because they're throwing some of the juice back to the three again. And I think, you know, if he's out there practicing, there's no way I think that he sits out this game. So yeah, we're gonna go with Green Bay this week as the play. And there's a lot of trends and a lot of you know, activity that point towards Green Bay. And as I told you off air, you know, I tried to do my dangest to find anything that was Tampa Bay angle that was would steer me away, you know, do that that counterintelligence type stuff.
And, right.
You know, I said last week, you know, when you're talking about Green Bay, there was a stat last week that I threw out to you, and again, it fits again this week. They're you know, they're lost in the NFC Championship game last year, right? They're 34-15 against the spread when they play in that angle, but they're 22-3 against the spread when they're playing a team that's off a double-digit win.
Wow.
So Tampa Bay is a 10-point favorite. You know, and again, Tom Brady's not having the greatest playoff success. Let's not kid ourselves. He's under 55% completion percentage the last two games in the playoffs. And when that happens, teams in this situation, like Green Bay, like Tampa Bay, are only 5-10 against the spread. So there's multiple angles, player angles, quarterback angles, you know, time zones. You're talking about weather. I mean, it's all pointing to a shellacking by Green Bay for me.
You know, I've been looking at it, John, the same way. And I told our listeners just a few minutes ago when we had our Green and Gold insider Joe DeGuano on, I think the Packers win somewhere around the 34-16 range. The reason that I say that is a lot to do with what you just mentioned, but also because of the Packers' home field advantage. Tom Brady, and I realize Tom Brady played his 19 of 20 years in Foxborough. It's a cold environment. I get it. But Tom Brady, in his last three seasons as a Patriot, wasn't good in cold weather. And I know he sort of joked about this and was tongue-in-cheek. His blood thinned out this year down in Tampa. He's still a 43-year-old quarterback, John. I mean, there's no escaping that. And when you talk about his completion percentage, all the things that you really sort of point to when you look for a quarterback and how they're going to lead the team, I'm with you. I don't think that Tom Brady can do it against the Packers in Green Bay. Now, if they do, it's going to be because the Bucs defense is going to basically bottle up the Packers offense, right? Vita Vey has been out for much of the season for the Bucs, and he is their defensive tackle and probably their best, well, one of their best defensive players. They've got Devin White and Levante David. Now, Vita Vey is able to come in and wreck the offensive line, John, then we're talking about something different.
Yeah, no, I think that's the exact reason why you see the line movement the way it is and the way where it's staying at is because of the most recent perception of bettors and the public, right, is that Tampa Bay's defense was lighting up the field, you know, interceptions and so forth. And I think when you peel back the onion and you look at it, though, the Saints were up 7 points, I think. I think they were up seven when Michael Thomas fumbled midfield.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, if they put 3 points or they put another 7 points on the board, you're talking about a whole different outcome of that game. So again, when I talked to you guys on Tuesday, I said this, you know, this weekend was a game of inches, right? And when you look at it from a betting standpoint, right, that's a humongous swing, because Tampa Bay goes back and puts points on the board. Yes, they responded, right, and so forth. But again, a fine line between, you know, winning by 10 points and potentially losing by double digits at that point, too. So, again, I thought the line was going to be a little bit higher for Green Bay. I was looking at more 5.5 to kind of entice the betting public a little bit more to bet on Tampa Bay, but apparently they didn't need it.
Yeah, apparently they didn't, and I know for a fact that Vegas sportsbooks desperately want the Packers to win this game because they are way over liability on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a Super Bowl favorite. John Denton is our resident betting expert, and I've called you our own version of Dan Orlovsky, but I'm getting this from one of our listeners now, Jason Breacher. He says, this is not hyperbole. He likes you better than Dan Orlovsky for this reason and this reason only, John. Dan Orlovsky lost him with his Carson Wentz love. He said, dude got too much into Carson Wentz, and therefore Dan Orlovsky is off the radar for Jason Breacher. I like that. John, let me get your thoughts on this, too. It's actually the subject of this morning's poll question, and I was really excited that we get to talk to you, a lifelong Chargers fan. The day that we find out, well, yesterday we found out that he retired, but this morning we're putting into our audience, is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer? Yes, no, or maybe. Like I said, you're a lifelong Chargers fan, or at least a fairly lifelong Chargers fan. What are your thoughts? Is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer?
I'd say yes. And again, I think he embodies everything that the game tries to portray as a professional athlete. Plus he had a kid every 2 years in the league, I think.
True.
Right? So that's phenomenal, right? That's phenomenal stamina. Just from a character standpoint, the guy, you never heard about the guy off the field.
No.
Right? He's a family man. He's a good guy in the community and stuff of that nature. But put all that aside, from a numbers aspect, I mean, surround him with some better teams, and I think he has a different outcome from a ring perspective, or from at least an opportunity to play for a few more Super Bowls. If some of those, I mean, again, wasted talent. He's in a Matthew Stafford type category where you just wasted a lot of talent over the course of 12, 14 years. And I do think he is a Hall of Famer. I do 100% think he's a Hall of Famer. Because, again, it, when you look at the character, you look at everybody that's in the Hall of Fame, again, there's some not so good character folks in there,
yeah.
Right? But
yeah.
he embodies what I would want my son to look up to as a NFL athlete, for sure.
You know, and I like that take on this, John, because you think of the Hall of Fame, and you could actually, Dan Patrick has mentioned this a number of times on his program, which airs 9 to 11 on WKTY, that he feels like there should be different levels or different tiers or different wings of the Hall of Fame. And I would say you could go, like you mentioned, the character issues. I say you could go like this. For $5, you can get into the Haunted Hall of Fame, where you get to see O.J. Simpson and Ray Lewis, people like that, walk through that whole thing. And then you get to go to the nice guy part and see people like Eli and Philip Rivers, whose, you know, games might not necessarily be top-tier Hall of Fame worthy, but they're there. I guess when I think of Philip, and I agree with what you say, his numbers are there. The guy was never an issue off the field. But it's hard for me when you compare the era and the era that Philip played in. I mean, Big Ben, Eli, and Aaron Rodgers, just right there. Those three guys have as many Super Bowl rings together as he does playoff wins. You think of Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, even Brett Favre. I think it's going to be a Hall of Fame entry, but probably not first ballot. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, it's probably accurate. Again, all the common denominator of those guys that you just talked about, those quarterbacks, were great teams, right? They all had a decent defense. They all had schematically advantages, as we talked about on Tuesday. He didn't have that. He wasn't luxury. He wasn't at luxury to have that stuff for many, many years. And again, when you do a lot with a little, to me, in my eyes, coming from, you know, my background of having won one game my freshman year,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But being a top-ranked offense, right?
Right,
we're doing a lot with a little, right? I take notice of that stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's valid. John, while we've got you on the line, John Denton joining us this morning from Las Vegas, I will let you know that on our Twitter feed at WKTY, 65.5% of respondents agree with you and say, yeah, Phillip's a Hall of Famer. 23% are saying maybe, and only 11.5% are saying no. Categorically, no, he's not a Hall of Famer. One of our listeners, Jason Breacher, also mentioned that Dan Fouts got into the Hall of Fame. Dan Fouts, I don't think, ever made a Super Bowl. And look, Philip had some good teams. 14-2, I think, in 2006, the Chargers with LT and Gates and Philip were 14-2, couldn't get it done. The next year, they lose in the AFC Championship game to Tom Brady and company. That's really been Philip's, I think, weakest part of his overall career and the resume of his career is how he performed in the postseason. But he has gone to 12 playoff games, won five. I feel like he's probably going to get in, but just probably not the first ballot Hall of Fame. JD,
yeah, I agree.
As always, great talking to you, man. Thanks for making some time for us this morning. I realize it's early, so I appreciate your input. And we will have the John Denton special on our website a little bit later on this afternoon. The Green Bay Packers, -3.5. I feel good about this, too, man. I really do.
I got to make up for last week, man. I got hammered last week. It wasn't a very good week for me. So
that wasn't your fault.
I'm not the one throwing and catching.
No, you're not. Actually, if you would have been throwing that football, I can guarantee it would have had more zip on it. That's one thing that I do know. John, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk over the weekend, my friend. Catch up with you here on the show next Tuesday.
Sounds great, Dave. Have a good one.
Thanks a bunch.